Hi, this is John Wolford in Dallas. I had the opportunity to work for Bill Meeks at PAMS in the early 1970s, and even back then I was fascinated by the company's history. So every now and then I was able to ask Bill Meeks a few questions and get his answers on tape. I still have those tapes, and I thought it might be interesting to share with you, in Bill's own words, a little bit of his story and PAMS history. Bill began his professional music career at a very early age.
In 1936, I started playing a saxophone on radio station WRR. And we had a kid band. I was 14 years old, and I was the oldest one on the band. And the youngest one was 11. And we played a radio show. And we had a show each Sunday called the Primrose Parade, sponsored by an oil company. Did our thing.
Bill continued to play saxophone and clarinet in various bands in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, which led to his being in the right place at the right time to begin doing jingles.
I actually did the very first station identifications for KLIF. They went on the air November the 11th, 1947. And what had happened was I brought a group of musicians from WFAA to KLIF, and we were going to play a live broadcast with these live musicians. So we took these musicians over to KLIF, and in the course of everything else and making jingles for the local advertisers like Klarin-Winterman, Pawn Shop, all this sort of thing, well, we made jingles for the radio station. You'd introduce your program with this sort of thing. It kind of would give you a breather going into your first piece of music or first announcement anyway.
In addition to performing on the radio with his band, Bill also sold commercial time to sponsor the show and did commercial jingles for some of those sponsors. After a while, they encouraged him to spend more time thinking about advertising jingles, and in 1951, Bill started his own company, PAMS Advertising Agency. The name PAMS, P-A-M-S, what does it stand for?
Production Advertising Merchandising Service. Just needed a name and came up with it.
During the almost 27 years that Bill Meeks ran PAMS, the company grew to become the world's leading producer of station ID jingles. One reason for that is that Bill was always looking for a new sound, a new technique, a new instrument, a new gimmick. And you can get the flavor of that by listening to him talk about what things were like in their very first recording studio.
We had our own studio beginning in 1958, and that was on Knox Street. With egg crates and everything else. It was purely a cut-and-saw method. You'd try one thing, and that was wrong, and then you'd try something else. We were trying phasing. Then we'd put two microphones in front of the vocal group, face them toward one another. This was the only way we could get the equalization we were after on the vocal group. And it was always a hit-and-miss affair. We'd mark their feet on the floor to make sure they stood in the same places. But it was a cut-and-saw, trial-and-error type thing. And we kept trying everything in the world, and we kept improving. And then when we built our own studio here, well, we had already been through about three studios by making a lot of mistakes, so we knew pretty well what to do when we came in here.
By 1961, PAMS had moved into its own building and studio with the famous 4141 Office Parkway address. But Bill was still interested in experimenting with recording, and because of that, some famous jingle packages were recorded in the most unlikely places.
Series 14 is recorded remote. It was recorded in a Jewish synagogue out here and also in McFarland Auditorium and one other. I used about, on a theater. I was trying the acoustics of various theaters and various open-type places to get some resonance of the room into the recording. We hung microphones every place. We hung them in the foyers. We hung them out, you know, like 800 feet away, and we hung them up close. We had one overall microphone and a bunch of small microphones to get the sounds of the various sections that we wanted.
Bill was never afraid to take a chance on a crazy idea or a wacky new effect, and just one example of that occurred in 1961 when he decided to build a jingle package around a device called the Sonovox. The result sounded something like this.
KFWB, Channel 98.
Series 18 took advantage of the Sonohawks, and at that time, all the Rangers and the Riders and everybody got in a fight with me again. They said, no, this sounded like a drowning man being strangled. We went ahead with it anyway. And my idea was that people would be listening to the radio and they would hear the band introduction or they'd hear steel guitar or some instrument actually playing the logo of the station. They'd say, gee, did I hear that guitar talk? Or was that something talked? But actually, over the years that we recorded it, it finally became a more of a sound in its that people identified with the Sonobox rather than the original idea of it sounding like a flute or a guitar talking, or we had a piano talking on some of the very first ones, and they were very difficult to redo. Anyway, Series 18 was quite a success.
In light of all the success that Pam's had over the years, I once asked Bill what his proudest moments were.
High points in the career of Pam's was Series 14, 18, 27, 31. I still think Series 34C, for its time, was one hell of a good package. And it took advantage of some writing ideas that I think helped make it a huge success.
Well, those of you who know your series numbers will appreciate that response, I'm sure. I did ask Bill in 1972 how it felt to be the head of a company whose product was heard and appreciated all over the world. Here's what he told me.
I don't know. My wife, one night we were watching television, and the BBC had a telecast on the fact that they were going rock, and there came our jingles, and Trell and everybody else. My wife says, gee, if you're so smart and clever, why aren't you rich?
Not everything that Bill Meeks tried worked, and not every venture was successful. But he did manage to put together an incredibly creative team and fuel them with interesting ideas and opportunities. And for that, the entire radio industry is grateful. And so am I.